The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600.
This is Second Amendment Friday on America First, brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Complacency is a weakness that patriots cannot afford. For this reason, Carr Firearms is teaming up with us here at America First in 2021. Carr believes Americans shouldn't be afraid to publicly appeal for our freedoms. This is about more than being gun enthusiasts. This has become very personal, fighting for the soul of America. Carr, K-A-H-R, wants America First listeners to know that they are not afraid to publicly support Second Amendment Friday. And I thank the great people at Carr. Go to kahr.com today and support this amazing firearms company, American Firearms Company. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network. It's Friday. It's Second Amendment Friday. It's Ask Dr. G Anything Friday. We will soon be joined by the Vice President of the Heritage Foundation for all matters national security and foreign policy. And we have so much to discuss with our good friend Jim Carafano. Then John Patton of the Gun Collective, one of the best YouTube channels out there on Second Amendment issues, and one of the best journalists in America, John Solomon, will analyze the events of the last few days here in D.C. But first, let me, I'll go to some calls in a second, but our good friend Howie Carr, what does he call himself? The talk radio king of New England. Great guy, super guy. We chatted today because I saw this, and we're going to get him on the show on Monday. His Twitter account posted this letter. Now, it's not by Howie, but Howie posted it. And it's really worth your time. Don't know who it's from. It's just found on social media. Dear Mr. President, I want to take a minute to say thank you. Regardless of the outcome of this election, you deserve my gratitude. Thank you for not plunging my brothers and sisters into another war. Thank you for walking through hell and back for the American people. Thank you for doing it for free. Thank you for working through the night while my family was tucked safely in bed. Thank you for standing strong and staring adversity in the face. Thank you for keeping God in the country I love. Thank you for not backing down when the weight of the world was against you. Thank you for putting your family in the line of fire when you didn't have to. Thank you for standing up for women. Thank you for not being a politician. Thank you for being raw and even sometimes too much. Thank you for standing up for the unborn. Thank you for caring about the little guy. Thank you for working harder than any president in my lifetime ever has. Thank you for your service to this country. You are part of some of the greatest days of my life. Thank you. Win or lose, I am a fan. You have fulfilled every promise you have made to me, and for that, I am thankful. May God always bless you and your family. From a grateful nation, thank you. I want to find out who wrote that. That is really fabulous, and thank you, Howie Carr, for posting that on your account. I did something a little bit similar. Was it 2 days ago? I think so. It's much shorter because I wrote it on Twitter first, and of course you're limited. But let me show you this because it actually has my name on it. I posted a photograph of myself with the president at the Resolute desk. It's an official White House photograph. And all I wrote was this. He crushed ISIS. Then he contained Russia, North Korea, China, and Iran. He took on Big Pharma. He gave black Americans the first meaningful reform of the criminal justice system and recognized Jerusalem. This man rebuilt our military and built the wall. His name is President Donald Trump, and I am honored to work for him and to stand with him. And then I just asked the question, how about you? Got lots of reactions. A couple of hateful ones, but hey, it's great. That's how you weed out the chaff at the end of the day and block those crazies. But I meant it. And I'm seeing far too many so-called conservatives. I mean, what is it with this virtue-signaling resignation 11 days before the inauguration? Really, Betsy DeVos? Now you've got a problem with the person in whose cabinet you served for 4 years? How pathetic. How utterly pathetic. That's the most meaningless thing you could do. It means you have no center, no core, no compass that you run. And then you think that those who hate you and have for 4 years. I mean, how badly was Betsy DeVos attacked for the last 4 years? You think the people that hate you and hate the man you worked for are now suddenly going to give you a little bit of love, invite you to those fancy parties, get you on the invite list for the White House when Biden becomes the president? You're not. And now we know you for who you are. Truly, truly pathetic. This is America First. We are live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. Don't forget, the titans of Silicon Valley hate freedom of speech, and especially from conservatives. So always have a backup plan. We are on Parler. We are on the YouTube alternative, Rumble. Check us out and subscribe there as well, and you will never, ever miss a thing. Back to your calls. Let's go to Lorena in Florida, waiting patiently. Line one, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you. It's great to speak with you.
Welcome. Go ahead. Come on. You're only listening to... There's only 3 million people listening, so come on. Let's do this.
Okay. So my question is, back in December, there was talk of the dueling electors, and we saw people in Arizona and different states signing the electoral votes for Trump. And before the whole craziness happened at the Capitol, and they started talking about Arizona, and people were standing up to contest it, object to it, Pence said that there was no competing electors, or however he stated it. So I was just wondering if you could kind of enlighten me and explain how that process works, or if those votes never made it there, or if they were never validated, or, you know, I just didn't understand why they weren't brought up.
Right. He never said words to that effect. So it depends upon which state you're you know, asking the question on, Lorena. In several of the states.
Arizona was the first one that they talked about. And I remember watching the people with a table outside in Arizona signing votes for Trump.
Right. So here's what happened in a couple of cases, but everyone is, you know, is unique. Everyone is sui generis. So in several cases, the Republicans submitted a competing slate of electors, which was meant to be transmitted to Capitol Hill for January the 6th. In some cases, they couldn't. I mean, it was, you know, Governor Whitmer locked the state house doors, used the state house police to ensure that the GOP electors could not be allowed into the building on the day that those electoral college votes were being tallied prior to being sent to this special joint session of Congress. So in some cases, I believe in that case, they tried to forward them independently. I doubt they made it into that wooden box, that ceremonial container. They may have. But in any case, it's irrelevant. The vice president made his decision even before the violence erupted, and he refused to exercise his constitutional rights to send the competing slates or even the questionable results of the established slates back to those state houses. So, yeah, he had every right to. He couldn't overturn the election, but he could have sent them back just for there to be a recertification or a debate in the specific state houses. For whatever reason, he decided not to do that. And that's how it, I think it was close to 3 a.m. on the morning of January the 7th, the Electoral College votes were tallied and Joe Biden became the president-elect. Thank you for your question. We are here to elucidate. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial.
News and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling.
Here's looking at you, Snowflake. America first.
Never hard to boggle the mind of Brian Stelter, but we love to do it every single day. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Car Firearms Group is proud to sponsor this segment, KAHR Car Arms, Magnum Research, the guys that bring you the Desert Eagle, and Auto Ordnance, the modern Tommy gun. Together, they're the Car Firearms Group, a family of brands defending your family's freedom. Check them out, KAHR.com. Happy New Year. I said he's our oldest guest. Not technically the oldest, right?
No, I think I am.
No, you're not. No. We've got some Eminence Gris guests as well. I meant old in terms of the from the get-go, from almost the beginning of the show, and we so appreciate it. Always comes on. Almost always from the studio. He is the vice president at the Heritage Foundation, the conservative mothership. He is responsible for all matters, national security and foreign policy. And he is our film critic extraordinaire. Man without portfolio. We will talk about those issues in a moment. But first, I have to, you know, talk about two things. You don't do politics, you do policy. But I have to note, allegedly on Monday, the Democrats will be filing or drafting first articles of impeachment for the president. And on top of that, they've called for him to be removed under the 25th Amendment to the Constitution. And on top of that, this is confirmed by the New York Post and by a statement made by Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi herself. She says she spoke to the most senior military official in America, uniformed. That's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, General Milley, and was reassured that the president will be prevented from any unhinged actions to do with nuclear launch codes. You don't have to comment on any of that. You said something really interesting in the break, but hang on a second. For those who've been screaming, coup! A coup is happening! The idea that the Speaker of the House, who isn't the Commander-in-Chief, is preventing the Commander-in-Chief from exercising any of his national security duties, that sounds a little bit like a coup to me. But on any of these issues and the Constitution, Jim, you have something to throw in?
No, I just think we have to be careful of hypocrisy here. Yeah. I mean, we were all horrified at what happened on the Capitol Hill. There is no place for political violence in America, period, whether it but on either side. There just isn't. And that political violence was particularly egregious because it was interfering with the process of putting a president in. To decry that crime and then turn around and say, let's remove the other guy because we don't like him.
Right.
Both of those, to me, are equally abhorrent.
Because let's be clear, the 25th Amendment isn't for political disagreements, right? Yeah. It's about incapacity.
Right.
When a president, gets a stroke.
Right. Because essentially what you're doing is the same thing you were screaming about.
Yes.
You're taking away the voter's choice. They voted him for all 4 years, every day till the day he leaves. And to remove him not in accordance with the Constitution is to disenfranchise the voter. Now, if you have articles, I'm not a lawyer, but if you have articles of impeachment, let's see him. If they're anything like the last set, right?
Right.
Which are just things about the president we don't like.
I mean, you raised this point in the break. You said, what would be in them? I mean, what would be in them? What would be in articles of impeachment 11 days before the inauguration?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate what they would need. But if it doesn't meet the criteria of high crime and misdemeanor, which clearly it did not last time, then it's what it is an over-political act. And the one thing that they have been consistent for is they've constantly assailed him on office, not in the failure of him to do his duties, but in because they don't like politics. Look, there's no crime being stupid or making a mistake or doing something wrong or something I disagree with is not a criteria for the constitutional crisis.
I want to discuss, we'll discuss it in a moment, the foreign policy consequences of the inauguration and the swearing in of the 46th president of the United States. But again, I think we've discussed this only once before, and it deserves a much longer discussion. The quality of policy debate in D.C., do we have that anymore, Jim Carafano? Do we discuss policy?
Well, I mean, I think that's a serious issue. The fact is there are serious issues. And, you know, people said, well, the world, you know, China is saying America has no more moral authority, and Russia is saying that, and other people are saying, look, here's the reality. The reality is that the world leaders are like the guys around a poker table, and they can trash talk all they want, but the reality is they look and they see what the other guy's got, and we still have the world's most powerful military. We have the world's largest economy. We are a global power with global interests and global responsibility. 330 million Americans look to the White House every day to safeguard their interests around the world. Our friends and allies look to us. And that's, in the end, what they're going to grade, whether they fear or whether they want to partner with America on. Now it'll be up to the new team to decide how to fulfill that really sacred obligation.
But in the meantime, and I love that analogy, you know, the poker player is going to try and bluff, right? He's going to try and make everybody think he's got the best hand. I mean, that's what leaders and especially competitors are going to do, right?
Yeah, sure. Look, I mean, during the Depression, Hitler made fun of America. He said, well, you guys, you have a depression. You have political chaos.
Yes.
You can't. The Soviets did it when, we had
race riots
and political. They said, America's falling apart. I mean, this is what the bad guys always say. And this is what people that want to throw a brick at you always say. But the reality is, you know, we are realists. America is a big, important country, and we have a lot of equities to protect. And we've got to get back to the business of dealing with that. And that's what people are watching for. They're not watching about. They're watching is America going to get back to the business of protecting America and its interests? And they're holding their breath to see that.
Yeah. Important question. The movie Fury. Have you seen it?
The tank movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And verdict.
I
was super skeptical.
Okay.
It was not bad for Brad Pitt, big star vehicle. Not bad.
It's there are very few movies about individual tank crews.
Yes.
Most movies are about infantry operations. So there's a terrific film from the 40s, Sahara, with Humphrey Bogart. About
yes.
A tank crew.
Yes.
Stranded in the desert, but they're. And because same reason why there aren't a lot of good airplane movies is because it's hard to have car chases in an airplane. And, there's not a lot of places you can go. So, you can have snakes on a plane. But, you know, making great films, action films about confined spaces is difficult. So it's hard. It's always been kind of hard to do that with Armor. I thought the film did it's a decent job. It was a good cast. It's a little, I think it's a film that really wasn't sure what kind of film it was.
That's good. Yeah, the genre, it's hard to peg it.
Yeah, it wasn't a straight out action film. There were some, okay, what's your message about, man and war? I get that. Dude, while we're at it, I should mention, I wrote this up for the National Interest based on a discussion that we had.
I know, I saw it.
And it was about, I didn't think about this until we had this discussion. It was about war movies of the 1950s, which is important because the war movies they made during the war were to win the war.
Yes.
The war movies made after the war were about people trying to understand what the hell they just went through.
Bingo.
They're very, very different films.
Eric, let's repost that fabulous article. It's like the five...
Yeah, five most unforgettable forgotten films.
Nice title. It's by J.J. Carafano on Twitter, Vice President of the Heritage Foundation. Back with our predictions, expectations for a Biden administration. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Carr Firearms.
Less than 2 weeks until the inauguration of the 46th President of the United States. I opened the show an hour and a half ago with we have the full list of all the cabinet nominees that Biden has named, and we have to look at them specifically now with our good friend Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation from the metric, the perspective of foreign policy and defense policy. I looked at Anthony Blinken, I looked at several of these individuals, Jim, and I see people who have been strong advocates, you know, rah, 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 pom-pom cheerleaders for the TPP, Paris Climate Accords, the Iran nuclear deal. Is it going to be back to the future with this team? Is it just going to be Clinton-Biden foreign policy?
Well, I think it is fair to say, from a roster standpoint, it looks a lot like Obama 3.0.
Yep.
Look, I mean, the reality is I think these guys are smart enough to realize that 4 years have happened since then, and you have to deal with the world as it is, not the one you had left 4 years ago. Hopefully they would acknowledge that the Obama years did not end well, and just going back to those policies is not a good idea. And regardless of what they think about Trump, they would be they'd be nuts to not leverage the good parts of the foreign policy, which is quite a lot. So we'll see.
But let me ask you one thing. We have this incredible result. Was it five nations now on the Middle East peace accords, the Abraham Accords? Can you keep that alive and then try and resuscitate JCPOA Iran deal?
That's the first test, right? And I think that's the concern, because what really matters in the end, and you know this because you were in the White House and you deal with it firsthand, is what is the policy the boss want, right? If you just left them alone, they'll just kind of reenact Obama 3.0 policies. But what do you want? Because you're the president of the United States. And we didn't get a lot of discussion on that. And then when you even said, here's our list of early priorities. We want to deal with Russia, China, you know, cyber and climate change and human rights. Okay, well, that's a remarkable list, because isn't every president deal with those things?
Yeah. So I don't know if I shared it here. I mean, the way it worked, you're so right to point that out. With the Iran deal, we came in, and what was it, every 90 days, the president had to re-extend right. the Iran deal. And one day he just said enough, because he'd promised that he's going to just kill it. And he called in the cabinet members. It was H.R. McMaster. It was the chief of staff. It was Tillerson from the state. And then he called in Steve Bannon and me, and he introduced us as the heavies. And he said, okay, you two guys want to pull us out. I want to pull us out. Go for it. And basically the cabinet yeah. members right. and Steve and I just had this big debate, and then the president listened and he decided and he pulled us out. So, right. you know, what the boss wants is crucial.
Right. right. And to his credit, you know, there was an argument for we should try to fix the deal. And he committed to trying that.
Yeah,
he
just absolutely. For months.
He just didn't do something reckless. He committed to trying to do that, and he said, okay, and if that doesn't work, let's think through all the things we have to do to make sure the country's safe. So he did all those things. We don't know what Biden's going to do. We didn't talk about foreign policy on the campaign trail. So yeah. this will be a real test, because, look, I mean, you know me. I'm not partisan. I don't do politics. I just do policy. The reality is for we are a much better place in the Middle East than we were 4 years ago. Crushing the caliphate, normalization with the Arabs, boxing in Iran, keeping the Syrian civil war contained. I mean, in every respect, we're way better off than we were 4 years ago. How do you build on that? And the notion, all we've heard is, well, we're going to go back to the Iran deal. And it's completely not clear how that does anything for us.
Yeah.
So the Iranians, for example, here's the deal. The Iranians just said, we said we're going back to the Iran deal. What did the Iranians do? They announced, we're going to move to 20% uranium yeah. enrichment. Now, so you take natural uranium, you enrich it, so you can use it as nuclear fuel. You enrich it more, eventually you get to a bomb. Yep. So what's significant about 20%, gross violation of the JPCOA, and this is what's really important, 20% enrichment gets you 90% of the way to 90% enrichment.
Right.
All the hard, it's like it's all the hard work's at the front end.
Yeah, it's like a logarithmic progression. It jumps. As soon right. as you get to 20%, it's a heck of a lot easier.
So essentially, you're just 3 months away from the bomb. Why did they do that? If Biden said he was going to go back to the deal and give them everything, why didn't they just sit on their hands? Because that's not what they want. They want to embarrass him. They want to humiliate him. They want to go back on their terms. They want to be feared and threatened. So in a sense, he already looks weak coming out of the box, and the Iranians are already posturing for that. Look at the Chinese did. They arranged a bunch of dissidents. They kicked the WHO team out.
Yes.
They run to do a deal with the Europeans. Are those the kind of things you do if you're really worried about the guy coming in and being tough on you?
No. They are, however, the things you do if the guy who comes in has already said, we have to dismantle this thing called America First. And what if you don't want America First, what do you do? We'll find out. And every week we will be breaking it down with Jim Carafano. Follow him right now, JJ Carafano on Twitter. And if you haven't done so, join the Heritage Foundation today. Heritage.org. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
Please. Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good thank job. You, how's your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Mr. President. He's so thoughtful. He asked me how my show is going when I see him in the White House. Carr Firearms is fighting for America. Carr executives were at the D.C. rallies. They are willing to put their brand's reputation on the line to stand up for liberty. Please support our new Second Amendment sponsor every Friday. Go to KAHR.com. That's Carr Firearms. And we're very excited to be partnering with them. Somebody else we're very excited to have on the show for the Second Amendment is one of the best YouTubers out there. When I get a little notification on my phone, new videos dropped. I can't wait to press the Gun Collective's channel and watch John Patton's latest update. John, Happy New Year. Welcome to America First.
Happy New Year to you too, man. I'm glad to be back.
All right. Well, you have been giving us constant updates on what's happening in the market. You do this amazing thing when you tell us how many gun purchases they've been every month, and it is truly incredible. But I want to have some fun first. What is the most exciting gun that you've come across lately? And is it the Alien 9mm? What are you most fun to get your most excited to get your hands on?
Honestly, that's probably the most exciting.
I knew it.
You know, it's a very, very different design than anything in our current market. It's very different. Piston operated, very expensive, all made of metal. You know, it's an alien design.
And how does it shoot is the question.
It's very flat, like flat in a way that doesn't feel like a standard gun. It doesn't feel like you're shooting, you know, a full 9mm. It feels like you're shooting a smaller caliber because the recoil largely goes straight back into your hand as opposed to doing that normal, like, kind of rocking up like a tilting barrel gun might do.
And it's more than just a low bore axis, right? Does the piston help mitigate it? Is it actually less recoil, not just lower recoil?
I think I'd have to study the high-speed video. We did shoot some high-speed video. I'd have to study it. I mean, to me, the largest claim is the muzzle rise, and the muzzle rise is marked.
Yeah.
Like, it is a complete difference. You can see the difference.
All right. That's something I can't wait to shoot myself. Very interesting weapon. Let's talk about the Sterling work. I mean, you do kind of – it's fun stuff, but it's also like real journalism. And one of the things that you do is you do these regular updates on what's happening in the gun market and how many Americans have, I guess, finally woken up to the Second Amendment. So for those who haven't followed, but go now, go subscribe to the Gun Collective on YouTube. Follow this man on Twitter at Gun Collective. John, are you also on Rumble as well?
We're not on Rumble yet. I think we're on Parler now.
Okay.
We're sort of juggling every all these new, like, sort of conservative type places to go.
Good. All right, because you got to do that. It's getting hairy out there. Talk about, for those who haven't seen it so far, but they are, you're going to be your new subscribers, what has happened to gun buying in America in the last 9 months?
We've sold more guns than ever before in human history this year. In the past 12 months, the firearm sales have been at a pace that nobody could have anticipated. And I believe there, up until December, I just saw the numbers today, up until December, June was the highest month ever at like 3.9 million background checks performed that month. December actually beat that out by a small margin. I believe the yearly total, I have it in front of me here. The yearly total is just shy of 40 million background checks.
And let's be clear, one background check can be multiple weapons, correct?
Correct. This is not a one-to-one representation. You know, we don't know the exact number of firearms sold because, you know, how could we possibly? But this is a very, very good indicator of just how bonkers this year has been. And I'll give a comparison. Last year, which was admittedly high, had about 10 million less.
Wow.
So if that's any indicator, this year has been completely insane for the firearms industry.
All right. Well, here's the big question for you then, John, in the last minute and a half we have with you. That means we have millions, tens of millions of Americans who are new to owning a weapon, new to the Second Amendment. We have a rabidly anti-gun administration being sworn in less than 2 weeks' time. What is your message to those who are old gun owners, new gun owners, as we prepare for the Biden White House?
The Second Amendment transcends a constitutionally enumerated right. It is the right to keep and bear arms is a human right, and we should absolutely not allow them to trample our rights in the coming 4 years and beyond. This is something that if you are thinking about fighting, if you are teetering on the edge, you need to do this. We need to move forward as one unit and not allow our rights to be stripped away. No death by a thousand paper cuts, none of that. The Biden administration has told us over and over again, they are coming for our guns, and we cannot let that happen.
Which gun organizations do you like and do you promote membership in?
You know, I really, really like a lot of the state-level organizations because that's where a lot of this starts.
Right.
But if we're talking at a federal level, we have Firearms Policy Coalition, Second Amendment Foundation, Gun Owners of America. Those are sort of my top three, and they are all fucking every day.
Yeah. You got to, if you know, it's not enough to buy a gun. You got to buy a gun. You got to train, and you got to join an organization and be vocal about your civil rights, because these are your civil rights. 30 seconds left with John Patton. What can we expect from you in the near future? What kind of videos are we expecting to come down the pike?
We've got the news rolling out next Monday. That's our normal thing. But the political things, the gun bills are already starting to stack up.
Right.
I've got a list, just a massive list of things to come. So stay tuned. I'm going to try to keep you guys updated. It is going to get weird in the next few months.
And you need to get reliable information. And John is one of the few. There's a handful of people I highly respect. It's John Patton on the Gun Collective. It's Tim Harmson on the Military Arms Channel. It's John Lovell on the Warrior Poet Society. These are the people you can trust. Follow him. It's the Gun Collective on YouTube and at Gun Collective on Twitter. God bless you, John. Happy New Year to you and Genevieve. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. If you are suffering from pain and you have found relief nowhere else, please do what I did. This drug-free product has relieved me of a low back pain issue that I suffered from for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor, and 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free 2 years later. What are you waiting for? Find out for yourself. It's so super easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack. It's just $19.95. That translates to less than a dollar a day. What can you get for less than a dollar a day? Nothing except potential liberation from your pain. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for me, then tens of thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. And like the president says at his rallies, what have you got to lose? Call them, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
Will be horrible. But I'd like that you're all a part of it. When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're such big guys, aren't they? They're such manly men. Doesn't Johnny Depp get paid to dress up and impersonate people? Doesn't he put on makeup for a living? He was asking during the Trump administration, when was the last time an actor killed a president? Like John Wilkes Booth, I guess. And then there's Madonna, you heard. I've thought a great deal about blowing up the White House. Which side are the violent ones? I think you know the answer to that question. And who are the cowards? Yeah, there's a lot of them. And you have to identify them on our side as well. Here's the former chief of staff for the Trump administration, a retired Marine Corps general. His name's John Kelly, and he had something he wanted to share with CNN. Video cut three, Eric. Play cut.
That the cabinet should meet and have a discussion. I don't think it'll happen, but I think the cabinet should meet and discuss this, because the behavior yesterday and the weeks and months before that has just been outrageous from the president. And what happened on Capitol Hill yesterday is a direct result of his, you know, poisoning the minds of people with the lies and the frauds.
You were a former member of the cabinet, and in addition to being a White House chief of staff, if you were in the cabinet right now, would you vote to remove him from office?
Yes, I would.
What a bloody coward. Oh, I'm a general. Oh, yeah, I can kill you without you noticing I've killed you. What a pathetic putz. And what an attack on the U.S. Constitution. Hey, Kelly, do you understand what the 25th Amendment is for? The Founding Fathers didn't create it so you could remove somebody you don't like. You are assaulting the American Republic. You want to remove a president for doing something illegal? Then impeach him. But the 25th Amendment is for physical mental incapacitation. And you want to use it for somebody you don't like. That means you have forsworn, you have spat on the oath of service that you took as a Marine. And you disgust all of us who have taken that oath, me included. You are a disgrace to the uniform you once wore. You are a disgrace to your cabinet position. And you are a disgrace to the fact that you served in the chief of staff position in an administration whose head you now wish to remove. John Kelly, you are beneath contempt of all true Americans. This is America First.